Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. This Sunday at 7 p.m., Helsinki on Broadway, in association with Showstoppers New York, presents Charles Busch in a cabaret evening entitled Late Summer Magic. Busch performed at Club Helsinki in Hudson, New York last fall and returns by popular demand. He will be joined by musical director and accompanist Tom Judson. Charles Busch is an acclaimed actor, Tony-nominated playwright and drag legend. His show at Club Helsinki is full of personal stories, original characters, and classic songs, all performed with his own unique form of glamour. A few of his dozens of plays are Die Mommy Die, Psycho Beach Party, Vampire Lesbians of Sodom, and The Tale of the Allergist's Wife, which ran for 777 performances on Broadway, won Mr. Busch the Outer Critics Circle John Gassner Award, and received a Tony nomination for Best Play. The film versions of Die Mommy Die and Psycho Beach Party have strong cult followings. He is the subject of the documentary film The Lady in Question is Charles Busch, and he joins us now. Charles Busch, welcome to The Roundtable.
Glad to join you at The Roundtable.
Your artistic and performance sensibilities are seated in movies from the 30s and 40s primarily. When did you first become fascinated with classic Hollywood?
Oh, gosh, you know, I really, really young. You know, I think I'd blocked this out of my memory, but I had a very kind of eccentric child in that my mother died when I was very young, when I was seven. And there was a period where we had to, we were living in suburbs in this house, and my father and I had to share a room for a brief period because we had to get a live-in housekeeper who took my room.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so my father was, you know, suddenly a bachelor again, and he was out all the time, but when he was around, he used to love watching old movies, and so I think I really kind of got my backlog of old movies just, you know, lying in bed supposedly asleep while my father was watching The Late Show. It really was a bit of a problem, actually, when I was a kid, because I became so obsessed with watching classic film that I really was sort of flunking out of school, but, you know, I was kind of a product of a completely permissive childhood, so I drifted for a while.
And at a certain point, your mother's sister, your aunt, took you to the city, and everything changed.
Yeah, she stepped in. Yeah, she sort of stepped in and took me to live with her in New York City, and she was an extraordinary parent.
And what was your life with her like?
Yeah, well, you know, she was the kind of lady that whatever kind of kid I was, she would have just jumped on board. You know, if I had been interested in science, she would have thrown herself into that. She was kind of lucky that it turned out that my artistic interests coincided with her own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it wouldn't have mattered really if I had been, you know, into baseball. She would have been studying up on baseball. So So we had a marvelous time. You know, growing up in New York City, if you're stage struck, is fantastic. You know, I was going to see Broadway shows since I was a young kid, and sometimes people don't really believe this, but it's a very different world we live in now. Sometimes after school, I would just head over to the Broadway Theater District, and I would just go to the stage door of one of the big Broadway theaters and ask the stage doorman if I could just get up on stage and sing. And they would never do that today. You know, people are so litigious. You know, what if I'd fallen, or what if everybody's trying to rip off everybody?
Uh-huh.
But they would just let me in. I'd be on the stage of the Palace Theater and, you know, belting. It was wonderful.
Yeah, that's awesome. I can't imagine. Do you remember the very first time you did that? Was it a special click, a special moment?
You know, I certainly do remember. Yeah, I mean, I think I was at the Winter Garden Theater. You know, was sort of surprised that the doorman would let me in. But I guess if you're, you know, what the hell, sure, kid. and it was thrilling to be on the, and to this day, I mean, I find, just when I've visited someone in a show and afterwards, and you kind of are led onto the stage to cross over to someone's dressing room to visit them, there's something I find just thrilling and a bit overwhelming, just standing there where so many other extraordinary people stood and looking out at this gorgeous, vast auditorium. It's magical.
How early did you realize that the femme fatale was the character you were most interested in?
Well, you know, I was always writing plays, and I didn't really take it seriously, particularly, because I just wanted to act.
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing, and wasn't really very good when I was a kid either. I think I liked it too much. But I was always writing. And then when I went to Northwestern University, I was a theater major, and I was just never cast in any play. I was just really too, I guess, too eccentric and odd, and you know, and so I was never cast. And I began to, I had a pretty pragmatic voice in my head, and I thought, well, if I'm not being cast in university theater, I may have a hard time in the professional world when I get out of here. And I, fortunately, when I would come home to New York, and this is now I'm talking about the early mid-70s, I began to be exposed to more experimental theater, and there was an extraordinary playwright, actor, director who had his own company named Charles Ludlam, and when I saw him perform these outrageous sort of camp epics where there were elements of old movies and opera and 19th century theater and pop culture satires, and people were in drag and outrageous costumes, and that was almost like this water being thrown on my face. It was almost an awakening that that the theater didn't have to be just the musicals and comedies that I'd kind of been brought up seeing, but it could be whatever I want it to be, you know. And I realized that, you know, rather than having doors closed to me, that I would just have to build the door myself and open it and walk in.
So you started writing to create roles that you could play so that there were roles for you so you could perform. Mm-hmm. But you've, of course, yeah, grown as a writer as you grow as a performer. Do you consider, yeah, yourself one or the other more now, or are you completely both?
Well, you know, it sort of depends when you're talking to me, to be honest.
I bet.
Tomorrow I might say something different. Well, I got better and better as a writer the more I did it, and I became, my interests became richer and more complex. And there are times when I think, I don't know, I might in some ways be more of a writer than a performer. I just don't know. Later this afternoon I might change my mind.
Sure.
It's just that I have to say that I seem to be happiest when I'm right in the throes of writing a play, and it's really going well, and I can't wait to get back into it several times a day, get back onto that computer, I love rewriting, and I love, once you have something on paper, you know, going in and editing it and rearranging it and cutting and pasting and trying to come up with this, a better line, a funnier line, go a little deeper into the character, make it a little richer. I love that, and I do think that's when I'm at my happiest. But then there's also a great joy of being on stage and walking this tightrope with an audience that you could fall off any second, and you have to, you know, through timing and the mixture of the technical, you know, of comedy timing, and yet also allowing yourself to be kind of a vessel of emotion and making it fresh each performance. It's very exciting.
You have, of course, done plays with co-stars, castmates, and one-person shows and films. Do you have a favorite form to work in, to tackle?
I think actually film.
Yeah?
I haven't made too many films, but the few that I've made, I think it really, you know, I think it was the most exciting parts of my creative life. Yeah, I really do. You know, the movies I've made where I've had leads, you know, are sort of indie films. You know, a lot of people haven't even heard of them, but they're things I'm very proud of, and they're kind of cult movies. One of them is called Psycho Beach Party, and the other is Die Mommy Die. And there's something wonderful about getting it right, you know, and doing it. I love the technical aspect of just getting it right, and you don't have to do it again.
Uh-huh.
And then also, since I've had such a background of film, you know, as a, you know, just, I'm kind of a film historian type in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
That several of the films that I made were kind of parodies or tributes to certain kind of Hollywood movie genre, that, you know, on film you can really get it accurate. You know, on stage there's a certain stylization because, you know, you have to project for the last row of the theater. On film I can really try to absolutely accurately recreate that movie style.
Mm-hmm. One of those,
yeah,
extreme close-ups with tears on cheeks.
Yes, absolutely. And yeah, and then there's a certain wonderful thing in film too, where where you can really do nothing at all physically or even facially. And if you really are just thinking, you know, into it, you know, the audience just can read your expression through your eyes without really any physicality. And that's very interesting to do.
The show you're performing at Club Helsinki is entitled Late Summer Magic. Without ruining any surprises, how does the evening sort of roll out?
Well, you know, I've had a really good time over the past year doing this cabaret work. I did a lot of performing in cabarets in the mid-90s, and then I just sort of got over it. And, you know, I've been focusing on plays and theater and film and different things, and I just somehow stumbled back into it. There was an interest in me performing, and it's talk about walking a tightrope.
I mean,
really, it's so spontaneous, and even though my show is very scripted, and since it's kind of loose, I know what I'm going to talk about to the audience, but I don't. It's not totally memorized. You know, it's spontaneous enough that I can. It changes and according to the feeling in the audience, and sometimes people. You know, the audience contributes a bit, just, you know, in their enthusiasm. And it's a kind of a kooky show because, you know, I've been sort of known as a female impersonator. You know, I play these female characters in my plays, and and I was in a bit of a quandary about this act. You know, should I be in drag or should I just be myself? Because really, the act is kind of, I sort of am myself, just telling stories about my career and the outrageous people I've known, and singing songs. And I do some very beautiful songs by Harold Arlen and Johnny Mercer, and, you know, the Great American Songbook, I guess it's called,
right,
where I'm being very personal. But I've been doing it in drag. So so I don't know. Sometimes I wonder why I'm doing it in drag, but it seems like the audience kind of enjoys seeing me very glamorous and. I don't know. It's I can't quite figure it out, but it seems to be working. I also do, within the act, I do little kind of movie genre parodies, similar to what I would do in a play. And so it's kind of nice for the audience to see me looking like the character. Yeah. I mean, I wish, in a certain sense, in the ideal world, I wish I could be like, bam, I'm telling the story as myself, you know, out of drag, and, you know, bam, magic, suddenly I'm, you know, in drag to play the character, and then bam, out of it. But, you know, it's you can't do it that way. So
right, it takes a lot longer than bam. Have you ever faced a day where you didn't want to put on the wig, didn't want to put on the makeup when you had
always.
To?
Always.
Yeah. Oh, no.
No, after 30 years, you know, unfortunately, I'm pretty quick at it at this point. You know, it doesn't take me very, very long, but it's I'm finding I'm dressing a bit more for comfort than I used to.
Aren't we all?
Well, you know, it is interesting. You know, I have a number of friends who have had long careers in, as female impersonators in different fields, whether it's, you know, ballet satire or opera satire or whatever. And it's just interesting how we all end up having some of the same issues that the actual real women that we emulate are suffering. And so, I've some of the same problems that actresses of my age feel, just as far as, you know, finding something that looks good on you, and you know, but it's the drag has never really, oddly enough, been that big a deal for me. I've never really found, just, I mean, part of me is a bit of a costume designer. You know, I always work very closely with whoever helps me put together the costume, and I love doing that. I love figuring, designing it, and I love playing a character. But just the actual putting on of a, you know, a wig and makeup and girdle is not terribly exciting to me. Yeah, so, and it took me a while too. Interestingly enough, in the 90s. I think I was so insecure about just being myself on stage that anytime I had to appear at any kind of a benefit or an award show or any place where you just, you know, get up as yourself, I was always in drag, and it really made no sense at all. And you know, I would kind of put on this kind of persona as kind of a great sort of grand dame of the theater, and people found it funny, and it was easy. But then really, I think it was, I had a great success in 2000, a play called The Tale of the Allergist Wife that I wrote that I wasn't in, and it was a very different kind of play. It was kind of a, I don't know, people said it was, had a kind of Neil Simon or Woody Allen feel to it. But it was, you know, it was a contemporary comedy.
About right, just, starring Linda Lavin.
Yes, and Michelle Lee. And when I had to go around publicizing that play, it certainly made no sense showing up in drag.
Right.
You know, I was just the author. So I had to just kind of get the confidence of just being, you know, being myself and talking and hopefully being interesting and amusing just as me. And I got to really enjoy that. And even I've enjoyed, you know, whether we're getting up and singing if I, just as myself. So I do that more often than I'm in drag. I'm usually just as myself these days.
Charles Bush, thank you so much for joining us today, and have a wonderful show at Club Helsinki.
Thank you very much. Lovely chatting with you.
Charles Bush's Late Summer Magic will be at Club Helsinki in Hudson, New York this Sunday night at 7 p.m. as part of the Helsinki on Broadway series presented by Showstoppers New York. To learn more, visit HelsinkiHudson.com. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.